In their teaching, the rabbis tell a story about people being in a storm, and they talk about the storm coming, and as the weather gets terrible, the lightning flashes, and the rabbis say of the people in the storm, the fool looks at the lightning, the wise man looks at the road now illuminated. As Christians, we will often be distracted by the lightning of failure and frustration, and we can get so focused on it that we don't use that opportunity to see what to do next. This story about the lightning and about focusing on the wrong things got me thinking about failure and frustration, and if it comes as lightning that lights up the road in a way that no other experience can do. Our gospel story speaks in part about failure and frustration. It uses a different metaphor. It tells us when our plans are frustrated in the work of God, we are supposed to shake the dust off our feet and move on. And Christians, even the most faithful of Christians, do face frustration just like everyone else does. Author Eugene Peterson speaks about an idea that he believes is out there that is very misguided. He says that the idea is we Christians are among the privileged company of persons who don't have accidents, arguments with our spouses, aren't misunderstood by our peers, and don't have children who disobey us. And then he goes on to say, if any of those things happen to us, it means that it's a sign that our relationship with God is not right. And he says, if that's what you believe, I'm happy to tell you, you're wrong. All of us, again, no matter how faithful we may be, all of us fight these struggles and frustrations and failures that everyone else fights. Certainly, Jesus' first followers experienced failure, and they faced severe resistance to the gospel. And their way of coping, prescribed by Jesus, was to shake the dust from their feet in response and move on. When I think of times that I've gone through the roughest experiences, I think of my favorite passage in Romans, which tells us, if God is with us, who can be against us? But in my roughest of times, I have to say, I also want to answer, if God is with me, why does life hold so much tragedy and disappointment and hurt and frustration? But apparent failure and personal tragedy do not mean that God is against us. They do not mean that we are not doing what God wants us to do. They are simply part of the human condition. So if success in this human life doesn't guide us into what to do next, what does? How do we know we're in God's favor, and how do we know which step to take next? We follow the example of Jesus. We live a life of charity, doing the right and generous thing as often as we can manage, and we rely on God to get us through the times when we wish the cup of tragedy or failure or disappointment would pass from our hands, just as Jesus did. By earthly measures, Jesus himself was a failure. He spread the news of God and was killed by his enemies for it. But amid the lightning, he looked at the road. He included everyone in his compassion. Lepers and tax collectors, even his tormentors. So we try to use the lightning to illuminate the road following the example of Jesus. We live a life of giving, of forgiveness, of nurturing, and we trust that even in our fear of the lightning, God is with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In today's story, the early disciples were sent out to prepare others to encounter Jesus. But notice that they were called to do it peacefully, not forcibly or with rancor, peacefully. One word we often hear for peace is the word shalom, and we think of it as just a synonym for peace, but it is something much, much greater than that. It means wholeness. It means unity of purpose. That is the kind of unity that speaks of a person when the Psalms say about Jerusalem that it is a city that is at unity with itself. It has peace within its walls. Eugene Peterson says of Shalom that it gathers all aspects of wholeness that result from God's will being accomplished in us. It releases streams of living water in us and pulsates with eternal life. He goes on to say, every time Jesus healed, forgave, or called someone, we have a demonstration of shalom. How can we practice shalom? How can we shake off the dust of frustration and failure, the dust of wrong thinking, hurts, greed, and self-righteousness? Those places illuminated by the lightning of failure and frustration are the first places where we begin to practice the peace of shalom. So how can we heal, forgive, and call to imitate Jesus and sow seeds of shalom? We put people ahead of things. The Dalai Lama has said, one of the problems with this world is this. People exist to be loved. Objects exist to be used. The world is in chaos because these things are the other way around. And so to sow peace and shalom, we put forgiveness ahead of winning. We put the common good ahead of our own agenda. We decide that we want to be at peace within our walls and let go of drama in favor of compassion and mercy. And as the gospel says, then your peace will come to rest upon others. We put God's will ahead of our willfulness. But we are called to sow peace and shalom, not only because it is the godly thing to do and it is the Jesus-like thing to do, but it benefits us. The passage from Galatians tells us that our actions have natural implications that follow from them. The Eastern traditions and our culture would call it karma. My favorite bumper sticker was one that said, "Your karma ran over my dog." But I digress. It is called karma in the Eastern traditions. And in Christianity, we say we reap what we sow. If we plant and nurture peace, we will find peace. If we plant and nurture competition and confrontation, we will never find peace within our walls. We are to be people of peace, of shalom, not of vengeance, competition, drama, self-righteousness, but people of peace. I think we get confused sometimes by this passage in Scripture in the Gospel. We have this nice harvest metaphor there, and some of us Christians seem to think that means that we take the side of self-righteousness in hand and mow down those who have heard the gospel. But we are not to argue with others about why they should come to Christ. We love them and we have peace within our own walls. And when we do, they are irresistibly drawn to Christ. We follow the example of Jesus. We heal, forgive, protect, nurture, defend, and exalt as Jesus did. We make these choices to show Jesus to others and to prepare them to receive Jesus so that they, in their turn, can heal and forgive and protect and nurture and defend.
defend and exalt. The storms come to us in community and in person every day. When the lightning flashes, will we stare at it, focusing on our failure and our frustration? Or will we look at the path the lightning illuminates? The path of righteousness over self-righteousness. The path of peace over competition. The path of forgiveness over resentment. Will we look when the lightning flashes to find the way of peace? Shalom.